good to see you today. Thank you for joining us for worship. My name is Jason. If we haven't met, I am one of the pastors here at the Grove Bible Chapel. And I hope you brought your Bible today. You're going to need it. We're going to be continuing in our sermon series out of the book of Nehemiah called Arise and Build. And so why don't you go ahead and find your way to Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. I'm so excited to get into this passage today. Nehemiah chapter 3 verses 1 and following. While you're turning there, I mentioned we're continuing a sermon series that Pastor Scott started several weeks back, and it's been so relevant and timely, especially for the season that we find ourselves in as a church. And among other things, we've been challenged by Pastor Scott to pray. We've been challenged to pray that God would expand our hearts, right? That God would expand our hearts for the lost, that God would expand our hearts for the Lord, and that God would expand our hearts for the labor. And like you guys, as I've been sitting each week, kind of taking this in and maybe taking a few notes, here's the thing that stood out for me, and I love this about Nehemiah and this book. I love the fact that God is powerfully working through a man who, what would you call him? God is working powerfully through a man who is not a paid religious professional. And he's like so many of you guys where he works a job. He's not on staff at a church. He didn't go to seminary. He never attended a homeschool co-op or went to a Christian college or university. That's not Nehemiah. He's a dude working a job, all right? He's not a pastor, but yet God powerfully works through him. Isn't that great? I love that. And so here's what that means for each and every one of you guys here this morning. For those of you who are working a job, men, women, I think this series really speaks to you guys, and it should encourage you to pursue the Lord with the time, the talents, the abilities, the skills, the talents that you have, regardless of your vocation, because God can work through them and you in a powerful way. That's what Nehemiah is all about. And so as we continue in this today, you should know that you don't have to work on staff at a church to have an enormous impact for the kingdom. Amen? Am I speaking some truth here? That's right, you can. All right? You don't have to be on staff at a church. You don't have to be a paid religious employee to get things done for the kingdom. And that's what Nehemiah is all about. And so if you work at Disney or maybe you work at a bank, or maybe you own a business, or perhaps you fly an airplane or drive a bus. Maybe you work in the medical field. Here's the thing. You can be a stay-at-home mother and still get this done. You're like Nehemiah. You're not a paid religious professional, yet you can have an enormous impact for the Lord. Amen? And so that's what we're going to be looking at here today. And so Nehemiah chapter 3, as we're going to see here today, we're going to see what God can and will accomplish through regular folks who show up, who work hard, and they cooperate together, all right? It's powerful, and that's what we're going to see. And so if you like to take notes, maybe like I do here in the bulletin, I just have one big idea, no sermon points. And the big idea today is this: God, you guys see it? God works powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. All right? And so this is going to lend itself to some great small group discussions this week, I trust. But before we get into all of this, why don't we just pause for a minute? Can we do that? Let's pray together. Let's just commit our time here to the Lord. Father in heaven, what an amazing morning. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And really, it's a privilege to gather together in your name as your children and to call out to you and to worship you and to lift up high your name. Father, we begin by thanking you for being a great God who has a heart for the world and a love for the world and for the nations and for cities like ours and for our church and for individuals and for their families. God, thank you. And we ask you, Lord, that today that you would reveal yourself to us. That's our desire. That's the prayer. That's our ask. And that you would speak to us and that you would touch our lives and our families and our church in such a way that we could participate with you in this great ministry of reconciliation. And for that to happen, we're going to open up your word. God, help me that I could be faithful in its proclamation. As John the Baptist said, that I could decrease, Lord, that you would increase. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us and convict us and confront us and instruct us as we dedicate ourselves and our church and our city and our labors to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's get into this. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1. And so as I said, no sermon points, just kind of one big idea. Once again, my big idea is this. God works powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. Would you say that with me? God works powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. And so really from beginning to end of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, this is true. And this truth happens over and over and over again. You see that God works so powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. And so what I'm going to do is 32 verses this morning. I'm going to read through it. I'm going to make some observations, some applications. And you'll see that by the time we come to the end of it, you're going to see how this big idea is woven through the whole thing. And so notice there, verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. And they consecrated it and hung its doors. And they consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hananel. And next to him, we're going to see this phrase next to him over and over and over this morning. Next to him, the men of Jericho built, and next to them, Zaccur, the son of Imri, built. And so you're probably picking up on it already. This is a list of names. And so if you're wondering, is he really going to read through an entire chapter with a bunch of names? The answer is yes, I am. In fact, I counted, it's like 40 names or households represented here, but it's so much more than that. We're going to find out that a bunch of these different names represent people, and they represent families, and they represent groups who are a part of a great mission, and the mission is to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And so there's blue-collar workers, there's white-collar workers, there's some old people, there's some young people, there's some men and women and children and families, and they're all showing up, and they're getting it done together. And I love it. And so for those of you who are wondering, yes, the answer is we are going to read through the whole thing. And for that to make sense, you have to understand the context. And so during the last couple messages, chapter 1, chapter 2 of Nehemiah, Pastor Scott, so well, he's explained to us kind of the big picture of what's going on here. You guys remember that Nehemiah, he's working in the capital city of, what was it again? Washington, D.C., was it? No, Susa, and he was cupbearer to the king. And then God called him to move to the city of Jerusalem and to rebuild that city, which has been destroyed and laid in ruins. And so as we've been seeing during the last couple messages, there was a lot of obstacles for Nehemiah. All right, this is not an easy task. It's not an easy ask. It's a very, very big, big job. And so Nehemiah in chapter 1, he went into a season of prayer. And he's planning, and he's praying, and he's planning, and he waits for the right moment. And when the right moment comes, he asks God to give him insight and wisdom as to what he should do to make a difference. Chapter 2, he goes to the king, and he asks for permission to go and rebuild the wall in Jerusalem. That was a couple weeks ago. And then now in chapter 3, we have the list of names who represent the people and the groups and the teams that get it done. I was talking with Miss Judy Van Kampen before the service. I did find out the answer. She had a good question. The question is the wall that Nehemiah builds, is it still in Jerusalem today? Like, is a part of it still there? It's a good question, right? And so for that answer, you're going to have to go to Israel with the church in May, and then you will find out. I'm just kidding. So if you can't make it this May, the answer is it's actually still there. And so 12 years ago, I Googled it and I found out, I this never came up in my studies, but it's a good question. I learned that remnants of a wall from the time of the prophet of Nehemiah had been uncovered in an archaeological excavation in Jerusalem's ancient city of David. And so they actually have found the portion of the wall, and it's actually going to come up here in a handful of verses. In verse 14, they have found that part of the gate, the dung gate. All right, how about that? That's the part that continues to exist today. And so they found this 2,500-year-old wall. They found it 12 years ago, and you can actually see it perhaps next May if you're able to make it there. And so just to give you a better idea on the scope of work, Jason, they kind of build a wall, but like how big is this wall? What are we talking about exactly? And so if you can imagine a 20-foot-high wall, that's roughly how big it is. It's pretty big, all right? 20-foot tall. It's roughly 3 or 4 foot wide and about 2.5 mile circumference. So this is a pretty big deal, and very, very big deal. And what's really stood out for me this week is that 40 people or households get this done when they work together and when they have a heart for the labor. It's pretty impressive. And so let's continue. Notice there, verse 3. Now the sons of Hasanah built the fish gate and laid its beams and hung its doors with bolts and bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uri, the son of Hakkaz, made repairs. And next to them, notice here, the people are working side by side by side. Meshulam, the son of Beraiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. And so now notice there, verse 5, this isn't the greatest moment for the builders. It's unfortunate, actually. It's a real shame. It says there, verse 5, moreover, next to him, the Tekoites made repairs. And we're actually going to find out in verse 27 that the Tekoites are very, very committed, and they're so faithful, so that when they actually finish here in verse 5 what they're doing, in verse 27, they go and find something else to do. It's so cool. But notice there in verse 5, the Tekoites made repairs, but their nobles, it says, did not support the work of their masters. And so not everyone was willing to participate in the work. Some would not support the work. If you're reading from the ESV, it may say something like this: they would not stoop to serve their God. And so some people are willing to serve, but not everyone was willing to stoop and serve the Lord, meaning they weren't willing to cooperate, meaning they weren't willing to participate, meaning they weren't willing to roll up their sleeves and get involved. And the truth is, this happens in the church too, doesn't it? And so not so much at our church, thank God, but the truth is it's a problem. Most churches, and there are some, oftentimes many, who will not support the work, just like what we're reading about here in verse 5. Here's the thing I love about our church, 7:30, Amir made reference to it this morning. If you were to come at that time, you're going to find out that this place is, I don't know what the word is, it's almost like teeming with people. A lot of you show up, praise the Lord, so faithful. I have the joy of coming most Sunday mornings at that time and to set up as well. I am highly unskilled, and so Jason, if you're like, I can't do anything, what am I going to do? Well, you can help me because I can't do much either. We can get it done together for the last month or so. I've actually brought my son Elijah, and so we kind of have some fun, and we do the work together, and it's great, and it's a really, really good thing. So many of you are faithful. Praise the Lord. Please keep it up. It's that same sacrificial spirit that we're reading here in Nehemiah chapter 3. And so this morning, let me just say, if you're yet to get involved in the work of ministry here at the Grove Bible Chapel, if I could just give a quick plug, the Grove Kids is an area of service we'd love to see more participation in. The Grove Kids, we'd love to see more participation there. We could definitely use some more help with setup and tear down, but the Grove Kids, listen, like this is the next generation, right? 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 It's the next generation. And our kids are our trust. They are our hope and our future, and we want to give them the best. And for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of their soul, we need to dig deep and to invest heavy in this very important ministry. And so especially if you're a parent, if you're yet to roll up your sleeves on Sunday mornings, give the Grove Kids a serious consideration. And so once again, today in Nehemiah chapter 3, we're reading through the roster. It's a roster of faithful men and women and children. And here's the question. The question is this. I mean, it's just practical. How about you? And how about us? And what could we accomplish if we work together? Just like what we're seeing here today. What could we do in the Hamlin area? What can we do in Greater Orlando? What can we get done along the I-4 corridor? As I look around, I see way more than 40 men, women. I see way more than 40 households represented here. What can be accomplished if we show up and serve hard and work hard and cooperate together and serve God and our city as one? Here's what I know for sure. God works powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. Now notice there, verse 6, Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodiah, repaired the old gate and laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars annexed to them. Once again, side by side by side, Melatiah, the Gibeonite, and Jabun, the Jerathonite, and the men of Gibeon and Mizpah, and also made repairs in the official seat of the governor in the province beyond the river. And so I can almost imagine them saying, you know, they're working side by side, and they're working so hard, and hey, Uziel, you still sticking with it? It's like, where am I going to go? We're not done yet. We still got work to do. How about you? How's it going over there? We got a lot yet to take care of, but you know what? We're not losing heart. How about you? No, me neither. Verse 8, next to him, Uziel, the son of Harahiah of goldsmiths, made repairs. What does it say there? And next to him, Hananiah, one of the, what does he do? What does he do? So, Hananiah, what do you do for a living? Well, I work at Macy's, and I spray perfume. I'm a perfumer. Perfumer, made repairs, and they restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to him, Raphaiah, the son of Hur, the official of the half-district of Jerusalem, made repairs. Verse 10, next to him, rolling up their sleeves, Jediah, the son of Harumpha, made repairs opposite his house. Verse 11, Malchiah, the son of Haram, the son of Hashub, the son of Pahath, Moab, repaired another section. Verse 12, next to him, Shalom, the son of Halohesh, the official of the half-district of Jerusalem, made repairs. He and his daughters. How great is that? I was reading that this week, and Charlie, I couldn't help but think of you guys. You guys probably don't know this, but on Sunday mornings, any given Sunday, Charlie is here with his daughters, with Hannah and Megan and Kate. And what do? They show up early to set up in the Grove Kids. How awesome is that? They do it together. What a blessing. What a great example. Verse 13, Huhan, the inhabitants of Zenoa, repaired the valley gate. They built it and hung its doors and its bolts and its bars, and get this, 1,000 cubits of the wall to the refuse gate. If you're reading from the ESV, it might say dung gate. And yes, as I mentioned, that is the part of the gate that they found in 2007 in Israel. And if you're very curious, supposedly you're still able to go. It's the city sewer, all right? You can still go there today, supposedly. Verse 14, Malchiah, the son of Rechab, the official, boy, I'm getting a little bit Hebrew speaking there. You guys may not know this, but I had 3.5 years of Hebrew during seminary. Of course, a lot of it is quite rusty. The official district of Beth Chacharem repaired the refuse gate. He built it and hung its doors with its bolts and its bars. Shaluam, the son of Kolhez, the official of the district of Mizpah, repaired the fountain gate. He built it, covered its doors, hung its doors with bolts and bars, and the wall, the pool of Shelah, the king's garden, as far as the steps, and descended from the city of David. All right, let's take a break. All right, we're halfway through. You guys are doing fantastic, by the way. Why don't you go ahead and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you're doing fantastic. All right, you guys are hanging in there. It's not easy to read it, and it, to be honest, it's probably not easy to listen to me read it. But we're halfway through, and what I'm hoping that you're seeing, that this is extraordinarily relevant for us here at the Grove as we too endeavor to arise and build. And here's what we're finding out. Chapter 3 shows us that God really cares about everyday people. God takes notice of what we do and how we serve, and it matters, and God takes notice of it. And these folks are just normal people. They're dudes working a job, all right? And they show up and they work together, they work hard, they serve God, and they did it together. That's what we see here. And God takes notice of their faithfulness. And the application is, here's the application. On any given Sunday or throughout the week, I know that you guys serve in student ministries, and so many of you are hosting small groups and leading small groups. Praise the Lord. I think of Jim serving our people through biblical counseling. Gretel, myself, have the privilege of serving in that ministry as well. A lot of you serving in hospitality in so many different ways. Understand that God takes notice of our days and our service and our hours and our sacrifice and our ministry, and God knows our name and God knows what we're doing. And here's the thing, there's actually honor and there's even a reward for those who do it faithfully, all right? And so this week I wrote down a few names of the kind of people mentioned right here in Nehemiah chapter 3, except they're from our church. And I thought of Cooper Tisch and Stephen Smallwood, who helped set up with Charlie and his daughters pretty much every single week in the Grove Kids. Praise the Lord. Nobody probably even knows about it. I think of our many different gifted teachers in the Grove Kids. There's a lot of you. Praise the Lord. I think of Dean and Becky Tisch, for example. Did you guys know Becky writes an original script to go along with the kids' lesson for a one-time-a-month puppet show? You're like, I didn't even know we had a puppet show over there. We do once a month. And supposedly, we have a puppet actor named Buzzy that's been known to make appearances. All right? People serving. You probably didn't even know it. How about this? We have women every Sunday who take home dirty laundry from our nursery, and they wash it at home in their personal washer and dryer. What a blessing, it's true. Denise, Lynn, Erickson, we're so thankful for them. What a blessing they are. And then Levi, Baczynski, sometimes Landon, they are our laundry runners. And so Lynn and Denise, they get it cleaned. These faithful boys, they run it over there so that it can be dirtied again. All right? What a blessing. You guys probably didn't even know that's taking place. Not to mention, did you guys know that we have a volunteer appreciation banquet every single year at the beginning of the summer? And we actually have it's a growing small group of men and women that have won a Nehemiah Award. Nehemiah Award, I haven't heard about this. Nehemiah Award is handed out by Pastor Scott at our, what we call our VABs, typically at the beginning of summer, most of the time right around June. And how about this? If you've won the Nehemiah Award, would you mind standing up? Could I put you on the spot? It's for those servants that have gone above and beyond the call of duty. Like, praise the Lord. Amen. That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Praise the Lord. And there, not everybody stood up. I guess they're too humble or whatever, all right? Thank you for all that you guys do. It's awesome. In a lot of ways, they are like the Tekoites in verse 5. They get the wall, like in front of their house, done, but then they're like looking, what else needs to be done? And then they go and do that. Praise the Lord, all right? Praise the Lord. Let's keep reading. Notice here verse 16. After him, you guys see it? Nehemiah, the son of Asbuck, official of the half-district of Beth-Zur, made repairs as far as a point opposite the tombs of David and as far as the artificial pool in the house of the mighty man. After him, the Levites repaired. And then after him, Heshbiah, the ruler of half the district of Keilah, repaired for his district. And after him, their brothers repaired. Verse 19, after him, Ezer, the son of Joshua, the ruler of Mizpah, repaired another section. Verse 20, after him, Baruch, the son of Zabai, repaired another section. Verse 21, after him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, repaired another section. So we met these guys a few verses ago, and now they're repairing another section. It's awesome. Verse 22, after him, the priests and the men of the surrounding area repaired. Verse 23, and after them, Benjamin and Hashub repaired opposite their house. And so this is a good insight, in case you haven't noticed. A lot of the building that's taking place is directly in front of where they live. And so, like, they got their house, and they want to kind of spruce up the curb appeal. And so we want the wall in front of our house to be as nice as possible. And so they're kind of taking ownership of that. And that's the part that they're repairing, which is great. They want it to look good. So they're repairing it opposite their house. Middle of verse 23, and after them, Azariah, the son of Maaseiah, the son of Ananiah, repaired beside his house. And so the picture I have in my mind as I read this is they're working side by side by side by side, all 2.5 miles around the city of Jerusalem. Everybody's doing their part. Everybody's shouldering a piece of the load. It's a huge job, but when many people are cooperating in it, they get it done. And so let me say something that I hope is becoming increasingly clear, okay? And so this maybe goes without saying, but for the sake of clarity, I just want to say it. I trust as you guys look around, I trust that we all understand that we're trying to build something here as well. Do you guys understand that? We're trying to build something, which means as we do so together, as we build this together, man, it can be great. No, we're not building a wall, but we are raising a church, and we are laboring to build into God's people. That's what we're doing here. It's not just about what Pastor Scott can do. It's not just about what the staff can do, all right? When it comes to raising a church and building up God's people with one man or one family, this isn't going to get done. But together with God, when we have a heart for the labor, I'm telling you, all things are possible. Amen? That's the lesson. That's the lesson. And I hope by now that's crystal clear. And what that means is your individual part, it matters. Every single one of you, every single one of us, our individual contribution, it matters. Your participation, it matters. And maybe when you're out and about during the week and you don't maybe feel that significant or you don't feel that important, but I'm telling you, here, a part of our church family, you matter. Can you receive that? You matter. Can you receive it? You matter. Can you receive it? Jason, I'm feeling really good about myself today. Awesome. You matter. All right? Your individual contribution, it matters. Just a few more verses. Notice verse 24, after him. How would you pronounce that? I don't know either. Let's just call him Benny. After him, brother Benny, he's doing some building. The son of Henadad repaired in another section. Verse 25, it kind of continues the same way. And to the corner of Palal, the son of Uzziah repaired opposite the buttress and the tower projecting from the upper house of the king at the court of the guard. Verse 6, verse 7, much the same. After him, the Tekoites repaired another section. These guys are getting it done. Notice verse 29. Let's wrap this up. After them, Zadok, the son of Emir, repaired opposite his own house. After him, Shemaniah, the son of Shechaniah. After him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah. After him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, repaired opposite his chamber. Two more verses, verse 31, after him, one of the goldsmiths repaired as far as the house of the temple service, verse 32, and between the upper chamber of the corner of the sheep gate, the goldsmiths and the merchants repaired. Let's be honest, were you starting to feel the burn? It's like a 60-second wall sit. You just kind of start to feel it burn. But we're done. And here's what we've seen. When it comes to arise and build, God works powerfully when his people have a heart for the labor. And now let's just take a step back. For the last, 30 minutes or so, we've been talking about work and service and labor. And maybe if you're honest, you're thinking, man, geez, this church stuff, it's a lot of work. This Christianity stuff, woof, it's a lot of stuff to do. And so let me just clarify. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying work hard, try hard, sacrifice hard. I'm not saying give money, make an effort. What you need to hear is, if we're going to have a heart for the labor, the heart for the labor comes from our heart for the Lord. Does that make sense? If we're going to have a heart for the labor, that's got to come from our heart for the Lord. Without a heart for the Lord, what we've been looking at in Nehemiah chapter 3 is simply duty. It's a burden. It's not a delight. It's not a blessing. But when the heart for the Lord fuels our service, then our service becomes a blessing, not a burden. You remove the Lord, what I'm talking about is a burden. It's a burden. But when we're serving from a place that's right with God, and when we have that heart for him and the duty of service, there is great delight. And so this morning, maybe you're not in a great place with the Lord, or perhaps you've never trusted in him personally for your soul's salvation. You know, the Bible is very clear about this. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift from God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast." And so what that means is Jesus did a work for us, and Jesus does a work on us, and ultimately Jesus will do a work through us. In fact, the next verse says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." Why? Do you know the answer? We are created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. To get the job done. God has some stuff he wants us to accomplish. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the implication of that is you and I, we were made by God to serve him and to obey him and to do his work on earth. But the first step is getting right with him. And so how does that happen, you ask? Here's the truth in love. Here's how it happens. If you're here today, maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not following the Lord closely. Here's the truth, just truth and love. And this is very serious, like heart attack serious. You are a sinner in desperate need of forgiveness. That's what that means. Every single one of us, we are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. It's what we do. It's who we are. All of us. So if you're far from God this morning, I'm just telling you, you're a sinner in desperate need of forgiveness. The good news, of course, is that Jesus has laid his life down for you. Jesus has done the work for you. Jesus has done the heavy lifting so that you could pass from death to life. And so how do we get right with God? How then are we saved? We are saved by God's grace, not by our efforts, not by our labors, not by our sacrifice, not by our service. All right? What's required then? It's us humbling ourselves and recognizing our need. We must confess and repent of our sins and believe, the Bible says. And as we do that, our Lord Jesus, he'll forgive you and he'll give you a new life. That's Jesus. He can be your God. And you can come into a relationship with him today. And so this morning, I just simply invite you to the person of Jesus. I don't invite you to religion. I invite you to the person of Jesus. He's who you need. And if you're interested in him this morning, go ahead and confess your sin now. It's between you and him. Ask him to be your God, and he will transform your life. This morning, if you would allow him to do so, Jesus can and will do a work in you, and he, of course, will do a work through you. And so with that said, why don't we go ahead and close our Bibles there? Nehemiah chapter 4, and following next Sunday. I really hope that you'll come back for that. As we wrap up here this morning, I'd like to invite you to use your imagination just for a moment. I want you to picture something with me. Imagine this. Imagine what can be accomplished right here in our Jerusalem, in the Hamlin community, and greater Orlando, throughout Central Florida, perhaps beyond. Can you imagine what can be accomplished if all of us unite? If all of us arise and build together. Think about that. Can you imagine what can be accomplished if all of us commit to raising this church together? Just think about all of the lives transformed. Think about the lost sinners saved. Think about the saved people made mature in Christ. Think about the marriages that are struggling that could be made healthy. Think about how this will affect families. Think about the next generation of kids and students equipped to make an impact for Christ. Isn't that exciting? Can you catch a glimpse of it? Can you imagine it for yourself? I tell you, if we commit to this together, it will be great. I have faith to believe that our God can and will do exceedingly abundantly, be above and beyond all that we can even hope or imagine. He can. Our Lord can do above and beyond all that we can even hope for or imagine. Life change, life transformation. Before I invite you to stand up and we close in worship, I have some folks I want you to see. And so if you could put up that slide for me, Matt, of our new members here at the Grove Bible Chapel. Here we go. Some new families who are stepping up and they're saying, we want to be a part of what God is doing here. Can we put our hands together for some of these folks? Praise the Lord. Thank you. These men and women, here's what they've done. They've chosen to roll up their sleeves with us. And they've said, through their cooperation and them standing forward and choosing to be members, they are saying, we too want to arise and build. They've determined to join us at the wall. And so thank you guys, that's awesome. It's great to have you part of our church family. So many of you are already being used in a powerful way. If you're interested in finding out more about what it means to be a member here at the Grove Bible Chapel, in November, we're going to be having our Next Steps class. Next Steps is where you can find out more of what it means to be a member. And so if you're interested in partnering with us or getting involved or joining us in the work, Next Steps is for you. That's going to be taking place in November. Stay tuned. You're going to be hearing more about that in the weeks ahead. If you have questions about that, I invite you to talk with me or one of the pastors or one of the elders after the service. With that, can we stand to our feet? We're going to close in worship the way that we do. We're going to lift up our voices. We're going to sing together. And so let's worship the Lord. Can we do that now? Come on, let's do it.